Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, May 16th, 2016. I'm Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuarita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who is enjoying a bit of the Canary Islands this week with his lovely wife, Anne. And we've got Ray Allen behind the glass producing the show. Thank you, Ray, for all your help. And if my geography serves me, the Canary Islands are part of Spain, but off the coast of Morocco. So Bill is getting out there. My guess is he's posting on Facebook. I thank him for letting me and several others sit in for him while he's away. It's always a pleasure. The Buckmaster Show is heard live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. right here on KVOI 1030 a.m. And we're live streaming at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Bill always likes to acknowledge his media partners, TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News, the Sahuarita Sun, Southern Arizona News Examiner, and TucsonLifestyle.com. You can also find archives of past shows at BuckmasterShow.com. In today's first half hour, we're going to be talking to our political experts, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom, during our Monday political face-off. And near the bottom of the hour, we've got Juan Ciscomani, who is the director of Governor Doug Ducey's Southern Arizona and Sonora offices, who will be joining us. If you want to join in the discussion, you can call the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. It's time now for the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's specializes in custom-framed mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course, you can find it on Facebook. We welcome Bruce Ash, Arizona, the GOP National Committeeman, who will be headed to Cleveland this convention for the convention this summer. Welcome, Bruce.
Hi. How are you?
And we welcome Paul Eckerstrom, former Democratic Party Chair. Welcome. I hope you guys had a great weekend.
Yep. I was out walking petitions for my fiancée, Charlene Piscate, who's running for Justice of the Peace on the west side. So it wasn't so fun, but it was fun to meet people at the door and talk to them.
Okay, that was not a planned plug, but yeah. You know what? You've been out there working, so go ahead and
thanks,
go for
Dad.
It. So,
appreciate it.
Justice of the Peace, tough job. So we got a good one down in Green Valley. So before we get to Trump and the chaos surrounding the GOP, in case anybody thinks the Republicans have cornered the market on crazy, we did have the Democrat convention in Las Vegas over the weekend, and things got a little dicey there. Paul, what happened?
You know, I don't know the details. I guess the Sanders folks didn't like the way the convention was selecting delegates. I've been through a lot of these. I'm sure Bruce has too, where, you know, I was just up at the state convention selecting at-large delegates this Saturday for the Democrats. It goes on and on and on. And people get really testy, and people want to end up being selected to go to the national convention. And, these rules are so complex. Especially in the Democratic Party, where everybody has to have certain racial balance rules in terms of different groups of ethnicity. We want to try to balance off the delegation that way. And then it has to be 50% female and 50% male. And so what happens is a lot of people get angry and upset. And I guess the Sanders folks felt that they didn't get an extra delegate or something and was very upset about that. That's what happens to these things, and people get angry very easily because they're tired. So I think it's more of that than anything very earth-shattering, like the Hillary Clinton people trying to steal something away from Bernie Sanders. I think Democrats are kind of coming to the realization that Bernie can't make it over the hump now, and so people are starting to coalesce around Hillary already, even though she isn't quite there yet.
A lot of people being angry is normal, but armed deputies coming in and throwing people out probably is not so normal. Doesn't really look good for the Democrats, but the Republicans certainly are in it too. And Bruce, as you are getting ready to head out, I guess in July, to the convention in Cleveland, we have got John McCain saying that the party should back Donald Trump, yet he's reluctant to stump for him. What's going on with that?
Well, let me, if you don't mind, Dan, let me just go back to what Paul talked about with the Nevada. he didn't really talk much about the Nevada convention over the weekend, but let me just touch on that. The Democratic Party has a great deal of frustration, just as does exist in the Republican Party. And what we saw in Nevada was, as much as anything else, frustration, not just with Hillary Clinton, because I think somebody said over the weekend that even a shot of a vitamin B or something wouldn't help her, you know, energize her. But, you know, it also really speaks to the problems that Democrats and Republicans both have with their existing elected officials. And the ire there was Senator Boxer from California. And I think Nancy Pelosi played into it somewhat as well. And it just shows whatever Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump have canned and brought to their campaigns, it's something that everybody's mm-hmm. buying, okay? Yep. And if Bernie Sanders doesn't win, in large part, it is to do with the way that the Democratic Party really lined up Hillary from a top-bottom kind of a perspective. He's darn close to her in terms of delegates that come from the various state contests. But when you add in the superdelegates, and he's picked up a modest amount, maybe 40 or 50, started with 9 out of nearly 600. I think he's up to, 48 or something like that now. But that's really the thing that throws him over. In the case of John McCain, I don't want to make light of what John McCain said. John McCain has come quite a distance in support of the presumptive nominee over the past month or so. Certainly, John McCain has a little bit of skin in the game because he was referred to in the not so best sort of ways back in the summer, you know, that only somebody who was a loser, you know, might have been in a POW camp, and I would hardly put John McCain in that particular category, especially because of his time with the Hanoi Hilton. But certainly, politics plays into whether or not you're going to give your full-throated support, and then you're going to use him, you know, within your campaign. I think it was really kind of taking the safe way out because, look, John McCain's if he wins his primary, has got a pretty good shot to get reelected, I think. And Donald Trump, although Paul may disagree, is going to easily win and keep Arizona a red state. The Democrats, you know, have been trying to convince people that we're really a purple state in presidential contests, but that certainly hasn't been the case and won't be the case in 2016.
A couple comments. One, I do think Arizona may be in play. It's certainly shades red for sure. But this year with Trump on the ticket, it depends on the turnout of the Hispanic community, but if they turn out to vote against him, I think Arizona could go for Hillary. And remember, Bill Clinton was the last president to win Arizona. The other thing is I would also tell you is
she ain't no Bill Clinton.
If that kind of takes place, you're also looking at John McCain having a very tough race against Ann Kirkpatrick. They're kind of tied in the polls, are very close right now, and that shouldn't be for an incumbent like John McCain. And if that's the case and the turnout is good among the Hispanic community, I have a feeling that's why John McCain is kind of tepid about being supportive of Trump, because he knows the electorate here could punish him if he's all in with Donald Trump, especially the Hispanic community. So I think that's playing part of it. And to comment a little bit about Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, but Bernie Sanders, one of the problems I think Bernie Sanders had, and I was a Sanders supporter, was he wasn't able to get his message out.
Why? She switched?
Well, pretty inevitable now that Hillary's the nominee, but and I think she'll make a good president, so I'm not having a problem with that. But in the fall, when Bernie needed an earlier start to get his message out, because his message was catching fire, he didn't have enough time to get it to penetrate as deep as it needed to, because two things: the DNC had set up where there wasn't any debates until October, which I think was a mistake. And two, Donald Trump was sucking up all the airtime on the television shows in the fall as well. So Bernie's message really didn't get a chance to be heard until like January, leading into the Iowa caucuses.
Okay, Bruce, we have about 1 minute before the break. Is McCain truly threatened by Ann Kirkpatrick? Do you think he could lose?
No. Look, he's got to get through the Republican primary, Dan, but I don't know what poll Paul refers to.
There's two of them.
There's all kinds of polls that people make assumptions going into them. But John McCain is going to win this election. And he'll probably win it convincingly.
There's two of them that has her either down by four or down by one. And that's within
no
the margin
difference.
There.
Polls make no difference on May 16th
or
Bruce
is right about that. But it's an indication that she's got a chance of winning that race.
Is it as tight as race so far?
I think that when you look at an objective polling that is done for the purpose not of propping up a candidate, but truly looking at what the scene is, John McCain is a pretty clear path to reelection if he gets renominated by the Republicans.
Okay, it is about 12:15, and we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back to continue the Monday political face-off.
This is Bill Buckmaster with some exciting news. You could win a $1,000 or a $500 travel voucher to one of 16 nonstop destinations from Tucson International Airport in the Travel Smart with TUS contest. Register for free through Tucson International Airport's Facebook or Twitter pages, or go to the website travelsmarttus.com. Good luck. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Mohs Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at MohsGallery.com and, of course, on Facebook. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill Buckmaster, who is on vacation, and we are talking to Bruce Ash, Arizona's GOP National Committeeman, and Paul Eckerstrom, former Democratic Party Chair. We're talking national politics. Now let's focus on the state. Let's talk about Secretary of State Michelle Reagan, who is in a lot of hot water. Calls for impeachment are improbable. Delaying the Prop 123 election, which is tomorrow, is nearly impossible. But Bruce, just how big a deal is it that she failed in her duty to get publicity pamphlets into the hand of voters before the early ballots were sent out?
Well, I talked with a high-ranking official at the SOS office last week. They had a clear failure in their print and mail operation with those advisories. And you know, as usual, there's some activist who gets up and, you know, calls for her impeachment. Michelle Reagan's probably done more to modernize and streamline the office. She probably knows more about how to run an SOS office and has the best staff in the world. But, you know, there's no accounting for glitches that come up when you've contracted for services and they fail to perform. I think Attorney General Brenovich was right that probably having that package was certainly important, but it wasn't going to change the votes that came in early to people who had researched it and wanted to get their votes out immediately. And the packages are all out for those people who probably are more undecided and are voting in that election. And I'll be voting yes on 1-2-3 tomorrow myself.
Paul, are we making too big of a deal of Michelle Reagan and what happened?
Well, I guess it was about 200,000 that didn't get out. And it's unfortunate, one, because the pro 123 people backed by Doug Ducey have got $4 million and they're spending tons of money on TV. The no on 123 people, and I'm voting no because I think this is a boondoggle for education. It doesn't really help education. It's going to hurt education forever if the constitutional change takes place. But the no on 123 folks only have $8,500 in the bank and haven't been able to. They're getting the word out the best they can by social media, but the plain fact is that pamphlet could educate people about exactly what's going to happen if people read it, and it was something that would have helped the no on 123 people. The problem legally is I'm not sure what may happen. Whoever loses that race or the other proposition, I mean, there might be a legal challenge to the actual election, whether it was legal or not, and then we might have to do it all over again at some point. So, you know, it is a big mistake, and I understand that there's mistakes made in offices and this type of thing. I don't think it's something that, like, is impeachable, but it is something that needs to be looked at so it doesn't happen again, because these type of mistakes, and like the mistake that happened during the presidential preference of voting where there wasn't enough polling places and we had these huge lines, that's not the way our democracy needs to be run. We got to make sure we have the right resources to run the elections properly so people can actually vote and vote with an educated mind.
Okay, so she blew it or her office blew it. But how big a deal is it? I guess that will be remains to be answered. We'll see what the results are and go from there. But speaking of Prop 123, which officially we're voting on tomorrow, but most people have voted early, the latest poll shows that it looks like it is going to slide through. Bruce, you're all for it. Is a victory for Governor Ducey then?
Well, it probably is. He put his reputation on the line. Working within the legislature. And look, the very first bill and forward for Doug Ducey since he became governor was about education. You know, the first bill that was passed and signed by him required, you know, education and a test by high school seniors in order to graduate, you know, have a civics and history test. You know, there's more money that's gone into education this year. Look, it's not enough, but what's enough? And you know, No matter what Paul says, there's never going to be enough money that can go into education. This legislature, notwithstanding the slurs and the slams by Democrats and by people in some of the unions, this legislature is going to continue getting more money to education, because that's clearly what we have to do in order to have a better educated state and workers, you know, to fill jobs that are coming to the state, whether, we have to have these jobs.
Yeah. And I'm in agreement with Bruce. We need more money in education. I don't think this legislature ever intends to give any more money to education. And you know that by what they slipped into this initiative or this referendum. They slipped in a poison pill that basically says that if education becomes 49% of the budget, it will never get another dime more from that point forward. And that is that's in our constitutional change with this 1-2-3. Everything else goes away in 2025 except that. And that what that means is this. If we restored our funding that we had in 2007 when we were still last in the country on funding for education, but if we get back to that funding level, we'd be at 48.6% of the budget. Take into account that Doug Ducey wants to slash taxes in every year of his governorship. You cut more taxes, that reduces the budget overall, which means without even giving a dime more to education, you will increase that percentage and get to 49% at some point. And that's forever. That is forever. And it is what this thing, if this thing passes, what it means is the end of true public education in this state.
And this is the misnomer that Paul and those in his political party
are
always harping on, that lower taxes create lower revenues. And that's just not the case. Empirically, it doesn't work that way. We've had recessions, and that has been an impediment to revenue collections. But generally, when you look at history, when you look at today, when you lower taxes, you increase the number of jobs, you increase the amount of activity, you increase the amount of revenues that come into the state
treasury.
You know,
we've had 30 years of this in Arizona, and our economic growth rate is fourth worst in the country. And I think the data shows the exact opposite. And the fact is, we maybe have more revenue we had in 1990. In aggregate, that's because we've had more people move here. But per capita revenue, when you take into inflation, has drastically dropped in this state. And we've got funding crisis is in both all the universities and in our junior college system, and certainly our K-12 system. When we used to have the best education system in this country, now we have the worst.
Per capita revenue generation has dropped because the last 8 years we've been still in the throes of a recession.
No, I'm talking about all the way back to 1991.
This administration Bruce. Hasn't been able to get out of.
I'm talking
and,
all the way
and
to
I don't know where you And I don't know where you were for the 10 years prior, really almost 20 years, both under Republican as well as Democrat leadership. But the economy in Arizona was booming all through that period of time.
Well, I'd like to see more stats on that, because we're the fourth lots worst more, economic growth
lots more
rate
people
in the
working.
In the country among the states.
Well, you show me that study and back it up with facts, and I'd be happy to look at it.
It's the economists from both ASU and U of A have put it out, so check it out.
Okay, let's go back to the national level, and we're going to talk about Obama and bathrooms, but not exactly the issue. The president has directed public schools across the nation to let students use bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. Arizona and several other states have told him no. Is this overreach on the president's part? And again, I don't want to talk about necessarily the gender identity issue, but is he going too far? And Paul, we'll start with you. Is this really something that he should have gotten involved in to this extent?
You know, I don't know. I frankly don't understand what the issue really is, why North Carolina did what they did. I don't really get it, because, you know, if somebody's had a sex change operation from, let's say, a male to a female, they should be going to a woman's bathroom. But North Carolina said, no, you can't. That just makes no sense to me. I mean, they had a sex change operation. They're a woman now. So why are we even discussing this? It shouldn't even be an issue. And, yeah, I think the president at least should stand up and say, yeah, this doesn't make sense to me either. And, yeah, if you have a sex change operation, you should be going into a woman's bathroom if you had changed to a female. I don't understand why there's an issue.
Well, I don't think we're talking necessarily about people who have gone all the way and had the operation. We're talking about people who identify as the opposite gender that they were born with. Is it okay to let them use these restrooms? And should, the bigger question, the president be jumping in on something like this, or should he just let the states hash it out?
Well, if we do it state by state, this is the problem of doing it by state by state. I mean, you're traveling through the country, and you don't know which bathroom you're allowed to go into. I mean, there does need to be some sort of uniformity. So I think the federal government does have a role to play in that situation, because it's almost like interstate commerce, and it should come under the Commerce Clause.
Okay, Bruce, we're going to give you the last word. Overreach on the president's part?
Yes.
that's enough. Okay, I want to thank our guests, Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. They never leave us wanting and get us thinking. We really appreciate that. This has been the Monday Political Face-Off. We will be joined real quickly here by Juan Ciscomani from the governor's office. We will be right back.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control is announcing they now have pigeon services with a pigeon poem. Pigeons procreate prodigiously, producing up to 8 progeny per year. Perching precariously, they plaster half their weight in poop per day. Poop collects, creating a problem with parasites and pestilence. Employ Five Star Pest Control's pigeon trapping and exclusion program, and you'll be pleased. Whew. Getting through that was way harder than you might think. Call Five Star at 886-0045 and visit fivestartermite.com.
We know what bones you.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. You'll read stories from around the world ignored by the mainstream media. Stories from the Gatestone Institute, the Washington Free Beacon, the Washington Times News Service, and other great outlets. It is world news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Well, Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. Coming up over the Memorial Day weekend, it's the 21st Silver City Blues and Bike Festival. For a complete listing of the many things to do and great places to stay, like Bear Mountain Lodge and Casita Sahila, guest lodge, visit southwestnewmexico.org. And now we are joined in studio with by Juan Ciscomani. He heads the governor's Southern Arizona office and also represents Arizona's interests in Sonora, Mexico. Welcome, Juan.
Thank you, Dan. Thanks for having me on.
Really appreciate you being here.
Well, no, thank you. And by the way, you pronounced my name perfectly, so good job there. It doesn't happen often, but you hit it right on.
Very good. I've seen people struggle through it, so I practiced.
So have I.
Yeah. Well, there's got to be a little relief up in Phoenix because the budget is in, and the governor, I'm going to assume, is basically satisfied with it. What is in this new state budget for Southern Arizona?
Great question. And yeah, absolutely. The governor is happy and satisfied. He congratulated the legislature and all those involved in the process. Like anything else, not one person got everything they wanted on that budget, including the governor. But that's a beauty of our process. You go through it, you have people fighting for their interest, and of course, legislators representing their areas, going through the whole process. And I hope that people understand how much goes into this process of going through committee, being introduced, all the amendments, getting out of committee on the floor, you name it, and then to go through the whole thing again in the Senate and then back and forth within, of course, the governor's office priorities being expressed throughout the process. So this is definitely a long process that goes through a lot of vetting. And if you think about it, we found ourselves in the position this year that we didn't think we could find ourselves this soon after we inherited a deficit of over $1 billion just a year ago. So you look at just a year ahead from last year, and we're having conversations on what can we fund, when last year the conversation, unfortunately, was where do we need to cut? And this year was the tone. There were a lot of options, a lot of good projects that could have been funded, and many were funded. And that was the process of what we ended up seeing at the end here. And as you and I were chatting before we were being on the air, really anything that passed in the state budget obviously affects Southern Arizona. Nevertheless, there are very specific things that we ended up benefiting from. A little bit on transportation that we'll chat about in a second, but also in education. University of Arizona was requesting funding for their vet school up in Oro Valley, which is a new location for them, and they ended up getting that one-time funding they were requesting. That's one of them, but also just overall in education, more money into K-12. That this is on top of what the money that will come through Prop 123, but also good investments in child safety, public safety, and the strike force as well, a little over $26 million that we'll chat about in a second on where that money is going.
Okay, very good. And I want to back up a little bit and just talk about your role down here in Southern Arizona for us. And let's face it, Southern Arizona feels overlooked a lot of times. You know, Maricopa County tends to get all the attention, and I am from Maricopa County, and I can attest to the fact that, yeah, we're used to the attention up there. And then I come down here, and you feel like you are overlooked a little bit. You know, yeah. I used to think Tucson just whined about that, but I've actually seen it happen. So you are here, in essence, representing our interests up at the Capitol. Can you explain a little bit about what you do, and specifically how constituents can get a hold of you if they have
Absolutely.
Any questions?
Well, I think if anybody has that perspective, it would be you, right? Because you've seen both sides. And, you know, it's interesting because through the process of me acquiring this position and the governor appointing me, that was one of the topics that kept coming up in meetings with either Kirk Adams, the chief of staff, or the governor himself. And that was the main topic as they were reiterating. The governor throughout his campaign saw that feeling was very alive here on being the forgotten area. And he said, we don't want to do that. We want to make sure that everybody gets represented equally, and I'm governor of all Arizona. So as we were going through the process, he kept saying, I want to make sure that Southern Arizona is properly represented in my team. And I think that was finally demonstrated when he appointed me not only to be the director of the office, but also as part of a senior staff. So as part of a senior executive team, I get to meet with him and the rest of the senior members every single Friday. And we go over whatever happened that week, the plans for the next week. So we're in the know, Dan. That's the thing. We're in the room. We're at the table where the decisions are being made, and where we can give an immediate update on what's going on this week. So I tell people all the time, if you have issues, please come see our office, because I want to make sure that, number one, we can address them, but also we can take it up to Phoenix if this is something that requires attention at a higher level. And they can reach me at the office at any point. And here, I have the phone number here. I'm looking for it, but it's 520-628-6580. That's the phone number to the office. We have a friendly staff there that can help with anything. And we've gotten calls even about people saying, you know what, I'm having a hard time getting through this department. It doesn't have to be only through the governor's office, but if it's DCS or if it's DES, whatever it may be that they're having issues with, we can always make the call from the governor's office on behalf of any constituent in Southern Arizona, and that tends to move things a little quicker.
So it's run very much like a constituent's office for a member of Congress. You got problems, give them a yell, and they will direct you.
That's right. We do that. We meet with public officials, elected officials, business leaders, anything that you would need from the governor's office or the governor himself, we're here. We've been able to bring him down. He's been here about 18 times. He'll be in his 19th trip next week when he's here for the Arizona Commerce Authority board meeting. That, again, this is the first time in ACA's history that they hold a board meeting outside of Phoenix. And that's because the governor directed them that way, and it's having great success.
Okay, well, we're going to be more impressed if he actually makes it down to Green Valley and Sahuarita.
Hey, so let's make that happen. Well, let's do that.
Yeah, we'll line up something. And by the way, we should point out that to get help from the governor's office, you do not need to be a Republican.
Absolutely not.
Okay, and actually, your influence and responsibility stretches far beyond Tucson and Southern Arizona, all the way down to Hermosillo, which is where you were born, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
And tell us about what Arizona's interest is in Hermosillo and what you're doing there.
We have high interest not only in the Hermosillo and Sonora, but in all Mexico. But let's talk specifically about Hermosillo. Hermosillo, for those of that may not be familiar with the city, that's the town of Sonora. That's the capital of Sonora, the state south of Arizona. You're right. That's where I was born, and my family has ties on both sides of the border. I ended up growing up here since I was 11, and it's been a great experience being able to go back now to Hermosillo and Sonora and representing Governor Ducey. I still have a lot of friends and family that I actually went to school with, and many, of course, like I said, are family and friends that are involved in government. That has made this relationship a lot easier. Both Governor Pavlovich and Governor Ducey were elected in the same year last year. They took office in the same year, which means that they both started at the same time with very similar priorities on education, but also in commerce and trade. And when you look at the trade we have with Mexico, it's almost $17 billion. And it would be naive to ignore that the majority of that relationship and the strongest part of that relationship comes from Sonora. Geographically, it is obviously very close to us, and also in trade, commerce, and just family living on both sides of the border. So very interested in keeping that relationship strong. And both governors have done a great job at establishing that early on.
And I met Governor Pavlovich last fall, actually. And I think it is, culturally speaking, very important for us to be physically in Sonora if we're going to expect that they're going to build and grow trade with us.
That's absolutely right. We have an office there. They have an office here. They host our office in their government building. We host their office in the governor's building in Phoenix. And that, again, helps with that relationship. I'm back and forth a lot representing the governor down there for all kinds of different things. But one of the exciting ones, Dan, is that when we look at the competition now for businesses to relocate, it's global. We're not competing Phoenix against Tucson, or even, frankly, Hermosillo against Tucson and Phoenix and Arizona. This is a region that we need to represent ourselves to the rest of the world, that when companies are looking for what we have to offer, we not only have to offer what Tucson has, but also what Sonora can offer the companies that are relocating here, and vice versa as well.
Very good. And our company, WIT Communications, owns not only the Green Valley News and Sahuarita Sun, but 25 newspapers across the country. Nogales is one of them, Nogales, Arizona. And the city of Nogales, really, from the 10-year period, 2000 to 2010, grew zero, almost exactly, just remained stagnant. How does a border community like that get jump-started?
Yeah.
And I'll get a little political here. I don't think that Representative Grijalva has really paid it enough attention. I think they feel like that down there also. What is it that the state of Arizona can do for Nogales, Arizona, to help drive some more of that cash across the border?
That's exactly right. And we get that feeling, as I represent the southern part of the state, and those are seven counties. We were in Pima County, and we hear a lot about Maricopa gets all the attention. But actually, when you go to Santa Cruz or Yuma or Cochise, they feel the same way about Pima also. So there's that feeling that they're not getting enough attention. And when you look at what's going on in Nogales, Arizona, and you compare it to what's going on in Nogales, Mexico, and Sonora, that population is growing. That economy is booming. And a lot part of that has to do with all the industry and maquiladoras. And one thing that it's important to clarify, I think, and you may agree with me here, when you talk about maquiladoras, this is not the what a lot of people have in mind, a random sweatshop with, you know, low-skilled labor. This is high-skilled labor that they're building literally the headsets for the NFL and such high-technology pieces that cross the border several times before they're finished. So when you look at that economy that is booming on the Mexico side and then it's crossing over to the U.S. side, it absolutely has to benefit us on this side. So on the state level, of course, it's the transportation piece, investing in those in that infrastructure, but also enhancing that commerce and making it easier for that produce to come up.
Okay, and I want to pursue this thought on the other side of the break. We are with Juan Siscomani, who heads the governor's Southern Arizona office and our interest in Sonora. We will be right back.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill, who is vacationing in the Canary Islands, and I am with Juan Ciscomani. He heads the governor's office, Southern Arizona office, and our interest in Sonora. Juan, again, thank you for being here. And off the air, we were having a conversation about Nogales, Sonora, and I was there about a month ago, and the surprise was, again, as you get past the first 100 yards or so of Nogales, Sonora, which is all the touristy areas and the place that everybody goes to, it becomes really a very different city. And it is really modern. And I got back and I told my wife, gosh, I felt like I was in a nice part of Tucson.
That's right.
What is going down there? And by the way, what would you guess is the population of Nogales, Sonora? I've heard everything from 250,000 to 400,000.
Same here. And they use a number of 400,000.
Okay.
So that's what I hear the most from the Sonoran government when they talk about their population on the border on their side. But you're absolutely right, Dan. When I drive to Hermosillo or even to Nogales for meetings, I sometimes take the Mariposa entry, but also sometimes I go through the city if the other one happens to be closed. And it's amazing. Before, you could drive for a few minutes and the town was over. Now you just keep driving and driving and driving and the town keeps going. And it doesn't get you would assume, or some may assume, that maybe it gets a little rough as you keep going south, but it really doesn't. It's very much safe in the areas that at least that we're driving by in, but also a lot of businesses that, you're right, you would assume that you're on this side of the border. You see KFCs, you see Jack in the Box, you see McDonald's, you see Home Depots, and commerce is just booming there. And a big part of that has to do with this free trade within our country, Mexico, and obviously Canada. And the force and the presence of the maquiladoras in that area,
and the maquiladoras are employing a tremendous number of people, and we saw an interesting housing project when I was down there, and that actually the people they take money out of their checks and they will own those homes at some point, and I don't know which they were working for, but these are people who are coming to the border, perhaps a lot of them with intent to come up to the United States illegally, but they end up in some pretty good jobs in Nogales, Sonora.
Well, yeah, when you look at the numbers, the vast majority of the people that are crossing over to our side, it's the economic situation that drives them up. But when Mexico can improve their economy the way they're doing it in Sonora and holding a lot of their people that, quite frankly, don't want to leave their country, but they're looking for a job, and Nogales can offer that to them, then they stop there and they actually become consumers of us because they keep crossing the border to buy at our stores and come and shop and vacation in our state, which is exactly what we want. We want that commerce relationship with Sonora that benefits both sides.
Well, good. And now we are about 2 years almost after the Mariposa expansion down on the border, and it's bringing a lot more trucks up. And has it really paid off for us? It was quite, and I'm trying to remember what the dollar figure was, but it was quite an undertaking to expand that port of entry. And we're now seeing a lot more action out of Mexico.
It is. Yeah, it was a big investment both on the federal side and our side as well. And it definitely has. Now, to be completely honest with you, and I think this is common knowledge, it's still being underutilized. When you look at the capability of that port and being the second largest port in the nation and the high technology that it has and the good work that the custom agents do there, it's great and it's improved. Nevertheless, they're having staffing issues. And if they could only get more people down there, then we could have a much faster service in that area. Now, on our side, that also matters because you look at the roads that are leading from Mariposa, the port of entry, into our own roads, and that's when you look at SR-189 or even I-19, right. The Sonoran Corridor, and of course SR-189 connecting with I-11 going all the way up to Canada. You look at all that, and that's investment on our side that we are currently making. When you look at the grants that ADOT has applied for, and the Tiger grants, and all these things that take priority things, they check them off our list of improving I-10 in some areas or I-11. Well, that moves up SR-189 and the other roads that we're talking about up on that list and that we can invest in. Now, at the same time, this is where the relationship with Sonora is so important, because it wouldn't do any benefit if we keep our roads and up to speed and invested in and expanded, and the same is not happening on the Mexico side, or vice versa, to be quite frank.
Now, when you're talking about manpower issues, are you talking about on our side or on their side, it being underutilized?
Both, and that's what I was getting at, because when you look at, we do the investment, and we can have our people, even if we get to that level, but it's the same as not being reflected on the other side of the border, then that poses an issue. And the same would be if they were investing and we weren't, which is why staying in touch and seeing exactly where we each are investing is such a high priority for us. When you look at the Querobabi point checkpoint on the Mexico side, that's about 70 miles south of the border, and that's a federal checkpoint for them where all the trucks have to unload their whatever they're carrying and then load it back on. That takes a lot of time. But Mexico has been investing in high technology in that checkpoint so they can speed up that process. I don't know if when you drive down there, Dan, you'll see if you keep driving south, that line sometimes is over a mile long of just trucks stopped.
Right.
And you just sit there and cringe because you're thinking that's produce sitting in those trucks that, you know, as our good friend Jaime always points out, may go bad. And if that happens, then a lot of money is being lost. At the same time, Mexico wants safety as much as we do, and we need to keep that safe. At the same time, investing in fast commerce.
Okay, very good. And as I recall, there was $25 million in the state budget this time around for that connector between the Mariposa port and I-19. And, you know, you've got good on both sides, but there's no way to get from one to the other. But that apparently is an issue that's being taken care of. So I want to move, change topics here and talk about the governor's plan for a border strike force. This is frankly an idea that is not real popular with a lot of the sheriffs down here in southern Arizona. Can you briefly explain what it's all about and what he's trying to accomplish and why do we need it?
Sure. The main point of the strike force is to tackle the drugs. This has nothing to do with immigration. This is strictly a strike force that is meant to increase the apprehension of drugs and prohibit them from coming into our country in any way or form. And the strike force, the main facet of it is cooperation between all agencies of law enforcement. So federal, local, and county. You're right. There has been concerns expressed from the sheriffs, but as it would normally. I mean, they have their operations. They do a good job at that. And the governor's office and DPS is not trying to come in and overtake that or work independently. Our main focus and our effort is to actually work in collaboration with them. We couldn't do it without that collaboration. So we've had meetings with them where we listen to their concerns and we address them. And we're moving forward with that. I think we've made great steps in that process. The governor himself has actually met with all 15 sheriffs more than once, at least twice, because I've been in both of those meetings where he listens to their concerns and we're coming to that resolution where we can work together.
And well, a lot of people feel like it's just another layer, and another layer oftentimes when you're talking about government just means another layer of confusion. And then again, there are dollars that are going to be going out there that a lot of the counties feel like aren't going to be enough to really make it worth their while. They feel like they're already doing enough to fight drugs. But the governor, again, thinks differently. Is he going to stick to his guns on this one and keep pushing for the strike force?
We are. And the way we're going to do that is through a collaboration with these sheriffs. Again, we listen to their concerns. And you know what? They are doing a good job. Nevertheless, as soon as this strike force was implemented, we started seeing an increase in the apprehension of all kinds of different drugs. And I can give you the numbers at a later time when we have more time in the air. But we've seen a lot of success in this area, and we can do even more with these funds that are coming in, and also even more so with bigger collaboration from the sheriff's departments.
Okay, very good. I want to thank our guest, Juan Ciscomani. He heads Governor Doug Ducey's Southern Arizona office, and that handles also our interest in Sonora, which is an entire show unto itself. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Dan. Always good to be with you.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show was presented by Green Things, the place for all things green in Tucson. Green Things has all your plants, pottery, and gardening supplies on a beautiful 13-acre location at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, also just west of Brandy Fenton Park. Check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. And on Friday, I am going to be back with you. The Friday Focus interview is going to be Andrew Paxton and Jamie Verwise, who are journalism students from the University of Arizona and Pima Community College. And they're going to talk to us about why they remain encouraged about the industry, even though things are changing so rapidly. We're also going to have our journalist roundtable. I'm going to be joined by Sarah Garrick Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star. That is on Friday. Thanks much for being here, and again, thanks to Bill for letting us sit in. Enjoy the rest of the afternoon.